the press conference today. Media briefing, we have Archbishop Martin, Archbishop Dublin, and President of the Eucharistic Congress, Bishop Philip McCone, member of the Irish Episcopal Council of Immigrants, and of course, Auxiliary Bishop of Connor, and Bishop Karen O'Reilly, Bishop O'Reilly, and Bishop of Killaloe, and Chair of Share the Good News Implementation Group. You should all have the following: a leaflet explaining Share the Good News, the National Directory for Catechetics in Ireland, separately in your press pack, a brochure detailing the 50th International Eucharistic Congress, and a press release for the spring meeting of bishops, which is ongoing at the moment, and therefore we'll have to conclude this media briefing at 5:02. The press release indicates a number of initiatives associated with the pastoral letter of Pope Benedict, and one of the initiatives that the Bishops' Conference is anxious to highlight is to encourage the faithful to renew the practice of making the sign of the cross as they pass the church and acknowledging the real presence of the Lord in the Eucharist and as part of a personal preparation for the 50th Eucharistic Congress. Further details of the initiatives will be published later on today. So I'll just ask Bishop McKillan to say a few words and then he'll be followed by Bishop O'Reilly.
Ég er að vera um pappa fagnar að gælige eginn tusen þess en annum en tröskjöks og en annum sjáttinn að gælige það gala ræði lakar með húra og það svo lagum við með nægris en ann að nýhela jannu og sálum tröskjöks að gælige og að gælige að spragu en það nægris og að nægna að bara volið við að góða að fóta tjér að tröskjöks og að tröskjöks.
Did you get that?
Thanks very much,
Bishop. So good afternoon to everybody. My main reason for being here actually is to share with you some information on the Share the Good News, which is a major publication, as you know, of the Bishops' Conference, published last year and now a year under sale, as it were. It's a major text or material or assistance for people who are involved in pastoral life in Ireland. It is a directory of catechesis for Ireland. And it is overall, I suppose, setting out on a 10-year journey, a 10-year plan for catechesis at all levels throughout the church on the island of Ireland. One of the main features about it is that it attempts to encompass every aspect of pastoral parish life and beyond that is in focus at the moment. And that it's not meant to do something new, but in fact, it actually enhances and will develop and aid and assist what is already there. It doesn't give easy remedies. It challenges our adults, especially adult faith development, to awaken their deeper commitment to Jesus Christ and to the commitment that they have in faith to that person of Jesus Christ. It comes, I think, at a very good time in that it can be a key element to the growth and development after the Eucharistic Congress. And as you know also, the Holy Father has declared the next year, beginning this year in October, the Year of Faith. So we are poised, as it were, with this document and the other documents that are coming from Porta Fide, the document, that the note that was published on this Year of Faith, to be able to hopefully strengthen and root more fully the gift of faith that we have received in the country. So it's just, this is a central document for the next number of years here in Ireland on faith. So I just wanted to introduce that. The bishops have reaffirmed their commitment to it, and at the moment there are a number of pilot schemes, plans to implement it. There's a very active committee engaged in that, and that's just to say that that is ongoing and very important for our faith growth and development here in Ireland.
Thank you. We're happy to take any questions if you review the press release.
I've got a question. When you talk about renewal, one of the key parts of the renewal we've been expecting is the visitation report, and there's been no sign of that at all, even though it's known to be floating around everyone's offices. Is there any sign of that coming out, any of what's going to happen, what recommendations have been made? I think it's key for people to, for transparency or for people to know that something's going to happen.
I mean, you obviously know that it's going on people's offices.
You have seen it, actually?
Pardon?
Have you not seen it?
Pardon?
Have you not seen it?
The report, has not finished. And the report will it was announced for spring. I think they'll stick to that. I would say it depends really on you know, when Holy Week comes, if it's ready before that, it will be published. If not, it certainly won't be published to start from the Easter season. But it's from what I understand, and I meet a lot of people who say they know where it is and what stage it is and what size it is, we're not at that stage yet.
Expected to be published
I would say before, I don't know when spring technically ends, but I would say in spring it will be published.
I see that the 7 reviews are ongoing, but the National Board of Safeguard is really concerned. Is there any indication yet when these reviews of the diocese and the various congregations and the various Catholic institutions may be complete?
We discussed this. There's a very strong view on the part of the bishops that the process should move forward and move forward expeditedly. Every bishop has already committed that the diocese will pay for their own review. It's important that the resources are there, but there's a tension between the size of the teams that are working on it and the ability to maintain quality control to ensure that exactly the same norms and procedures are used in each of the dioceses. The work done so far by the groups has been very satisfactory. The group has acquired an experience of how they go about this, these reviews, and to do it in the correct balanced tone. The bishops would have no objection to the size of that group being increased if they feel that this can be done, while maintaining the same tightness of approach. I think you can see already the numbers that are of dioceses that are being done and being done quickly now are emerging. We haven't yet gone to a very large diocese. For example, Dublin will be reviewed from the period after the closure with the Murphy Report in 2004. That might be as large as a small diocese. The important thing is also to move quickly with the religious congregations, which are very varied in size and dimensions. But there's a strong view on the part of the bishops that the review process move forward expeditely, quickly, but it not be done in the quality of the reviews that have emerged until today be maintained.
What about the recent criticisms of Baroness Bologna that the work of this board is being frustrated by lack of resources, etc.?
I think with regard to the review, is the bishops would pay for the review. So bishops, there's a waiting list of bishops who want to be reviewed. I think that in the liaison with the national board, it will be possible to see can we move that forward. But while maintaining the pattern that has been established, which has proven to be very valuable.
On an allied matter, the recent symposium in Rome was attended by 10 representatives of the Irish Church, mm-hmm. including Edward Keeson, the lawyer. Why was he there?
I don't know.
Is he a church employee?
No, I think he was invited by a religious congregation with whom he worked. I wouldn't rule out the fact that lawyers have an important role to understand also what's happening.
But a clerical abuse conference in Rome?
I mean, I don't know who else was there, but there probably were other lawyers there as well.
Archbishop, can I just make reference to the comments you made broadcast the weekend on CBS, although you made them obviously some months ago. Is that raised in these conferences, 3-day conferences? Is that given much weight or given much time of what you've been saying? And is there any lay representatives that take part in the conference, and do you think there should be as well?
Nobody has mentioned anything to me about CBS program. It went out at a time which was beyond most bishops' bedtime, so that may be one of the reasons that they didn't watch. The comments I made were made many months ago. I have said things in the meantime which might seem to contradict what I say, but I stand over all of them because I believe we're in the middle of a process. The church is at a very difficult period. But I believe that we're turning the corner, and I believe that the Eucharistic Congress is an important part of that. The lay staff in Maynooth will attend some sessions or report to some sessions of the conference, but many of the commissions whose work is reported to the conference are composed also of lay people. There's certainly room for more such involvement.
And just in connection with the schools that were announced yesterday, obviously I know the bishops have made a statement on that already, but do you think that this is a reflection of the changing direction of where schools are going in the state as regards to the government looks at it?
I think, you know, there's a double trend, and this is one of sort of the ambivalences in Irish society. On the one hand, there's a clear call for a reduction in the presence of the Catholic Church in providing education. On the other hand, when you go down locally, there's a reluctance of people to place their children in something else but a school with a religious ethos. And this is going to be one of the challenges that will emerge in the ongoing. The minister said yesterday on the radio that he's in favour of looking at parents' views, to find an effective way in which that parents' views can be canvassed and verified. In the new areas in Dublin, there's already quite a variety of but you have that, and you'll still have Catholic schools that are oversubscribed. So there is a great interest among people in Catholic education, and there's also a desire for change. So that's the reality, and I think the forum on patronage will probably recognise that and make some suggestions as to how we go forward on that.
Archbishop Letitia Gintonish, our meeting this afternoon with the press to outline the progress in the first year of government, and we know one of the things they're going to be pushing ahead with now is the Constitutional Convention. And according to the programme for government, one of the issues to be discussed there, of course, will be same-sex marriage. And I know your counterparts across the water have been making a lot of rubbing about that in recent days. Have you any comments to make in the context of the Constitutional Convention?
I think the Constitutional Convention will inevitably look not just at the question of same-sex marriage, but the more fundamental question is the definition of marriage and the definition of family. And you know, these are fundamental questions. They're not simply... Marriage isn't a social construct which each generation can change as it wishes. Marriage and family are about fundamental realities, and they have to be examined. The Irish Constitution has served us very well. I'm not saying it has to be changed, but if you look at it, and if you look at the way in which there's been... the interpretation of the courts, it's a very flexible document, and it's a document which has got fundamental principles. Any change in the Constitution should take that into consideration. The details, well, they've come, and but as they come, we'll talk about them.
And maybe in a related matter, the Church State Dialogue that was instigated by Bertie Ahern with the churches and faith communities and other philosophical societies. There hasn't really been anything about that, certainly since the new government met, I don't think under Brian Cowan either. Is that something you're disappointed about?
I'm disappointed, yeah, myself, but there is ongoing contact and there is a hope that it will move forward. The difficulty was that it was launched, and it was very clear from the beginning that the infrastructures for carrying it forward weren't there. And there's work being done on that at this moment. So you can't just bring in five bishops and four ministers and suddenly begin to talk about the technical details of managing certain aspects of our relationship. There has to be contact earlier on, so that these can be looked at.
On church government relations, briefly, Archbishop, will the bishops be given guidance on the question of how to vote or what considerations to give to the issues involved in the forthcoming referendum?
We haven't discussed the matter because you never discuss the advice you give until you see the text. And I think everybody is saying the same thing about this. The bishops on other referendums haven't given explicit advice. They've indicated some principles. This one is a slightly different one. But when the text is there and the dates are there, I hope they don't have the referendum on the day of the final Mass of the Eucharistic Congress.
Well, it's a Sunday.